Chapter 11. Applying Pressure.
And in conclusion, he calls us leaderless, rudderless, and spineless,
Vitariel snarled. He drew back his arm to hurl the data slate at the wall, but Chetta managed to pluck it out of his hand before he could do so.
I'm not bothered about the names he calls us, she told her fuming brother-in-law.
They were in an antechamber, off one of House Brabantis's main dining halls, waiting to make their entrance. I'm more concerned by what criteria he's outlined for the conflict. She thumbed through the long and venomous missive that had just arrived via personal courier from Sen Uru Dakar. As usual, Vitariel had been distracted by the emotional content and hadn't paid attention to the pertinent details. Ah, here we are. Very brief, really. She squinted at the text. By all methods, economic and cultural, but through no force of arms. Vitariel scowled down at her, but didn't snatch the dataslate back.
Is that through no force of arms or through no open force of arms?
Chetta double-checked. No force of arms. He thinks he can use Azariel's own tactics against House Sudine on us and break us without a shot being fired, she snorted. He's ambitious, I'll give him that.
No assassins? No saboteurs? Vitariel scoffed. From Sen Uru? I'll believe it when I fail to see them. More likely that he wishes to play the slighted noble who takes the higher road and will blame his other tactics on a third party, seeking to use the trade war as a cover to advance their own agenda.
Or he could just be being cautious, Chetta pointed out. He must think that I would have anticipated this reaction from him when I called off the betrothals. For all he knows, I could have been planning this with Azariel for 5 years or so. We could have always intended to do this, to goad Sen Uru into declaring a trade war, for which we are already very well prepared, as a means of destroying Dakar. Vitar nodded slowly, conceding the point. Trade wars between navigator houses were always closely prescribed, as was entirely necessary for organisations that could have influence across half the Imperium or more. Declaring a trade war that involved force of arms against House Belisarius, for example, was an open invitation to have a mob of space wolves show up and tear your holdings apart. The Sons of Fenris took the ancient oaths of loyalty that bound them and their navigators to each other very seriously, and rarely needed much of an excuse to start a fight.
I take it that this wasn't planned out between you and my brother?
No. More's the pity, Chetta muttered. But hopefully Sen Uru is simply trying to save face while limiting the possibility of waking up with a knife in his heart. She tapped her chin thoughtfully with her finger. We need to look at our investments. He'll try to undercut us where he can, even if it means taking a loss himself. He'll flood markets with goods that our captains transport, so they can no longer afford to run, or buy up the raw materials and stockpile them so they have nothing to ship.
Only if he knows where our interests lie, Vitar said. A little misdirection could waste him a lot of time, effort and money, if he targets the wrong things.
The leaks would have to look genuine, Chetta mused. I'll speak to Crane. We'd need to massively increase our counter-espionage resources, but focus on misleading potential moles, not eliminating them.
Speaking of Crane, have you been told about Avamar?
Vitar asked. The question sounded innocent, but the hairs were suddenly standing up on Chetta's arms again. Which one? She asked, trying to keep her tone neutral. Avamar Relly or Avamar Duchoy? There were two Avamars in the Brabantis family, distinguished by their middle names that indicated to which sub-branch they belonged.
Duchoy.
No, Chetta was forced to admit. The context of Crane led to an obvious conclusion as to why Vitar had mentioned him. He's not been found dead as well, has he?
Missing,
Vitar said, fiddling with his cuffs and not looking at her.
It's been a week now.
Chetta cursed inwardly. She should have been told. How did Vitar know and not her? Was he insinuating himself with the more distant family branches, seeking to garner support for his claim to becoming Novator? Is it out of character for him? She asked, hating herself for having to do so, but she had never known the man well.
He has gone off before,
Vitar admitted.
He's a Maudlin type by all accounts and prone to wandering, but he's usually back within a few days and will often send his siblings some overdramatic message now and then.
This time,
they've had nothing but silence.
Chetta glowered at the data slate. Do you suspect Sen Uru?
I wouldn't like to say,
Vitar said quietly,
but it seems too much of a coincidence, bearing in mind the previous two deaths, for this to be an isolated incident. And yet, the first two occurred before you so drastically burned our bridges with Dakar.
Zudine, perhaps?
Chetta offered, ignoring his accusatory choice of words.
How go the negotiations?
Slowly, Vitar admitted. Cannavario is long on words and short on content. Tonight's dinner is more for the sake of form than because we have any great breakthrough to celebrate.
He eyed her.
It's almost as though he's stalling, waiting for something.
A new Novator to be confirmed, most likely, so you can know for sure who he's dealing with, Chetta thought to herself.
The Brabantis elders were still in council over the matter of succession, having shut themselves off from direct contact with any senior member of the family in order to avoid being unfairly influenced. And Chetta got the impression that they were waiting to see which way the house's fortune went in the aftermath of her two dramatic decisions. It was better than them immediately confirming Vitariel as Novator, and also implied that they might support her if everything panned out well. But she couldn't help but feel that it showed a lack of certainty. Sen Uru's accusation of the house being rudderless might not be far from the truth at present. But it was possible that House Zudine had set a grand plan of their own into motion, or were the tools of someone else's. Perhaps Cannavario was waiting for Brabantis's future to take a sudden nosedive to make his own negotiating position stronger. It was also possible that he'd been recruited by Dakar to find out details of Brabantis's economic interests, which would naturally come up during the discussions over an alliance contract. It would be fast work if that were the case, though, given Sen Uru had declared the trade war spontaneously, and after Zudine had already pledged allegiance to Brabantis. Unless, of course, Zudine's entire presence at Azariel's wake had been Sen Uru's idea, and Sen Uru had already been hoping to use his fellow Novator to gain insight into Brabantis's interests anyway, with promises of help to rebuild Cannavario's ruined house. Chetta was a navigator, and used to concentrating on multiple things at once, but this arachnid's web of potential betrayal made even her head spin. It didn't even take into account Vitariel's agenda, or Mirandia's, or... There was a polite but firm knock at the antechamber door, interrupting her thoughts.
Come!
Vitar barked, and a page stepped inside, dressed in Brabantis livery.
Your Eminences, the guests have arrived and are seated, she declared, making a deep curtsy. They are ready for you.
Time for a united front, Vitar muttered to Chetta. He held his arm out to her. Are you ready, dear sister?
But of course, dear brother, Chetta replied, linking her arm through his. Let us treat them to the glory of House Brabantis. There had been 17 courses, 3 musical interludes, 6 speeches, and a lot of Damascene. Although Chetta had taken care to pace herself so as not to get drunk, Cannavario Zudine had indeed proved to be a wordy type without much to actually say, despite his verbose declarations of goodwill towards his hosts. But then again, it would be foolish to openly announce the details of an alliance contract to all and sundry. Vitar had been his counterpart, representing Brabantis, and Chetta had been quite content to let him be the focal point for once. Now, as the evening had progressed into true night, the gathered dignitaries had left the dining tables to move into the lavishly furnished entertainment rooms, or the mixing bowl, as Azariel had laughingly called them, and Chetta was free to stalk her prey.
Portmaster, she purred, doing her best to sidle up alongside him, although in truth it was more of a lurch.
Grandmaster Alexan Van Sennet, who bore overall responsibility for the operation of Ascension City's spaceport, started in surprise, then took a drag on his cigar. Chetta could tell from the scent that it was one of the newer Nicomos strains, developed on an agri world in the Abella system. House Brabantis actually jointly owned the planet in question, although that detail was not common knowledge.
Hi, lady,
Van Sennet acknowledged her, with a click of his heels and a slight bow that suggested he'd never been closer to a military vessel than watching one land. He was a thin man, with lustrous sideburns that had remained a stubborn black, as opposed to the silver that was creeping into the hair on his scalp.
I must thank you for the invitation to this wonderful event, and I congratulate your house on this new alliance.
An expression of dismay washed across his face.
Oh, and of course my condolences. On your loss, forgive my thoughtlessness.
No apology is necessary, Chetta assured him with a smile. The man was a little drunk, but only a little.
Excellent. She looked around casually. Was your wife able to join us this evening?
Ah, alas, no,
Van Sennett replied.
He didn't look too unhappy about it. Her health is not what it once was. The chirurgeons have performed wonders, truly, and we have high hopes that she will be back to her old self soon. But for now, there is little that can be done, save for her to rest, and let her body heal at its own pace.
Indeed, Chetta nodded sagely. I am most familiar with the limitations of the flesh. Why, I've often wished that I could exchange this old shell of contrary bones for a younger, fresher model, at least for a while. Van Sennett laughed politely. Which is, in fact, exactly what I hear you have done. Chetta continued, in the same conversational tone, and watched his smile freeze in place. Tell me, Portmaster, do you care for her? Or is she merely an amusement while you wait for your wife to get better? After all, I imagine you will not continue with your infidelity once dear Lyatta is back on her feet. She'd easily be sharp enough to realise what was going on. Van Sennett had gone quite pale, and his fine cigar was smouldering away unheeded between the first two fingers of his left hand. It would be a terrible shame if someone were to tell her, Chetta mused, staring off across the room. A troop of acrobats had made an entrance and were performing slow cartwheels and walking on their hands. Simple tricks to attract the guests' interest before building up to a grander performance. Given the deep pockets of the assembled notaries, they could potentially amass a small fortune in tips before the end of the night, on top of their regular fee. As I recall, her family is still very influential. It wouldn't completely end your career, I'd imagine, but you'd certainly rise no higher.
Hi, lady. Why are you doing this?
Van Sennett whispered, barely able to force the words past his lips. Because I want something, of course, Chetta replied, still not looking at him. I want something, and I want to make very sure that no one else knows that I've got it. If you can get me what I want, and keep your mouth shut about it, then you can continue with your amusement should you wish to, and Lyatta won't learn of it from me or mine. She sighed, rolled her neck, and felt something click. If you can't provide what I need, or someone else learns of the details of my request, then your young mistress will testify about all the things that you and she have done together. She doesn't know that yet, Chetta added with a shrug. But please believe me when I say that I can make it happen. Even most of the employees in Brabantus's flesh houses didn't know the identities of their true masters, let alone punters like Van Sennett, which made them very useful places for Chetta to have her hooks into. Van Sennett seemed to remember that he had a cigar. He took a long drag and exhaled the smoke in twin blooms through his nose to steady his nerves.
What do you want?
Pict feed data from the immigration channels, Chetta told him. She slipped a scrap of paper into his right-hand jacket pocket. These dates, unencrypted, unedited, to be put onto a standard data crystal and ready for collection by my factor from your office by the end of tomorrow. Chetta, Van Sennett said, and there was real hurt in his voice.
I would have done this for you. You know I would. There was no need for this.
Chetta nodded as she toyed with the head of her cane. I thought you might, but I needed you to understand how serious I am about this. I have no patience for the I was going to but, which sometimes happens in these situations. Favours can be retracted or withdrawn, Alexan. I find that loyalty, be it out of love or duty, and fear are the only true motivators. I couldn't be certain of your loyalty, so I had to employ fear. She turned her head to look at him again and smiled brightly. I'm sure that after tomorrow evening, we need never speak of this again.
Indeed, Van Sennett said shortly.
He took another drag on his cigar, then coughed.
Well, I find that my appetite for socialising has been satiated. Begging your pardon, high lady.
He turned to go.
Oh, Portmaster, you're not leaving us already, surely?
The new arrival sweeping down on them was a stunning figure in an open-backed dress of teal Narfenna silk and had precious gems scattered with contrived artlessness through her hair. Every finger was bedecked with rings and she was attended by a hovering mini-servitor. Not a skull, or even a cherub, as was more common, but a construct in the form of a small avian. Its feathered wings were a blur. But there must have been some anti-grav tech at work as well, and probably gyro-stabilization, for it gripped the long stem of its owner's glass between its tiny clawed feet in order to leave her hands free, yet didn't spill a drop.
"The entertainments are only just beginning," Indrinian Vass exclaimed, even as Van Sennet opened his mouth to make an excuse. "You can't possibly leave so soon."
The rogue trader looked a totally different person out of her power armor, but still moved with the same languid grace, as she snapped open a fan with one hand and laughingly blocked Van Sennet's progress with her other arm, laid across his chest. She gently steered him around, despite his attempted protestations, until he was once more facing the room at large, by which point her arm had migrated to lying across his shoulders.
"Hi, lady,"
Vass said, somehow managing to curtsy to Chetta without either looking ridiculous or releasing her gentle hold on Van Sennet.
"I hadn't yet had a chance to thank you once again for your hospitality. Your home is truly awe-inspiring. I hope that one day my own family may have the merest fraction of this."
She paused and gestured around with her fan, taking in the marble columns, decorative fountains, carefully cultivated indoor fruit trees, ancient tapestries, and the small army of sober liveried servants moving amongst the spectacularly attired guests. "This?" Chetta prompted.
"Just this," Vass laughed. "All of this.
I'm certain that your alliance with House Udine will bring you great fortune," Chetta said, with a completely straight face.
"Oh, I'm sure it will,"
Vass agreed with a smile,
"especially given that Cannavario seems so happy with the progress made so far in his talks with your brother-in-law. I owe you a debt for agreeing to end the dispute between your houses, although, of course, I understand that the decision wasn't taken with any thought to my benefit."
Her smile widened.
"I suppose the Emperor guides the hand of happy coincidence."
"I'm certain that he does,"
Chetta agreed, with a smile of her own. Everything about Vass's presentation suggested that Chetta was looking at a flighty, insubstantial woman who'd been awarded a letter of marque as, what, a bribe? As the result of a bribe? As a convenient method of getting her out of the way by compelling her to comply with the letter's requirements of exploration and conquest in the name of the Imperium. It wouldn't be the first time such a thing had happened. And yet, she'd worn power armor like she'd been born in it. And for all its richness and frippery, the suit hadn't been unmarked. The dents and scratches had been lovingly smoothed out, filled in and painted over. But they'd still been there. The armor itself had seen action. The only question was, had Vass been inside it at the time? This exuberance was a few steps up from the smoothly urbane rogue trader laughing at a secret joke whom Chetta had met at Azariel's wake. Either Vass was drunker, possible, or she'd been deliberately restraining her more effusive nature due to the solemnity of the event, also possible. Or this evening's version of Vass was a performance. In which case, Chetta mused, as Vass curtsied again in farewell and steered the still reluctant Alexan Van Sennet away across the room, she was fairly certain that she wasn't its intended audience.
"This is Lady Chetamande," she sub-vocalised into the combead worked into her choker. "I want constant surveillance on rogue trader Vass, where she goes, but particularly who she talks to and what gets said."
"Acknowledged, my lady,"
came the response into her ear. There was a brief pause, and then the same security guard spoke again, slightly hurriedly.
"My lady, please be advised that Lord and Lady Jocin are behind you."
Chetta quelled the small smile that tugged at the corner of her mouth and made a mental note to find out which staffer it was who just warned her of her sister-in-law's approach and reward them in some small way. She turned on the spot.
"Mirandia, Jalamar,"
Chetta said amiably, managing to hide how amused she was by their clear disappointment at being unable to surprise her from behind. "How good of you to accept our invitation."
"Your hospitality will be remembered,"
Mirandia replied, in a tone frosty enough to make a Valhallan reach for their coat.
"Now and before."
"I'm so glad," Chetta smiled, letting the reference to her dismissal of them in the aftermath of Azariel's wake bounce off her. She changed her expression to one of slight puzzlement as she noticed that none of their usual shadows were hovering behind them.
"No aides this evening, Jalamar?"
"They have duties elsewhere," Jalamar replied stiffly. "And after all,
I'm sure we can count on House Brabantis to accommodate any needs we may have whilst we are within these walls.
Of course, Chetta smiled. I understand. I've given Dashelle the night off myself.